This episode is brought to you by TweakedAudio.com. Fantastic earbuds and audio accessories for you, the discerning electronics consumer. Go check them out at TweakedAudio.com right now. See what fine selection you'd like. Know that you're going to get a full warranty, lifetime on everything, and save 33%. Use the code STREAM at checkout. The perfect Christmas gift. TweakedAudio.com, the code STREAM, and get 33% off.
This is the place to do it. If we're going to do it, it's going to be here. Coming up on TMS, the Zucks want to spend it all.
Try not to pee in the black hole.
Ew. Rambo gets a series.
Instagram babies.
How many turtles is that?
Recommendals.
Tom's Tech Time and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Sometimes your skin gets so dry, you can scratch the word dry right on your hand.
Frosty, man, frosty.
The Morning Stream, The Morning Stream.
The Morning Stream. This car smells weird.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to TMS, The Morning Stream, for Wednesday, the 2nd of December, 2015. I'm Scott Johnson. That's Brian Ibbett.
Hello.
How's it going, man? What's going on?
Good.
What are you doing over there? What do you got? What do you have?
It's funny. Hearing that theme, because I love all of our themes, right? I love the... kind of more electronic one. I like that 70s-esque one. I like the new guitar one. Mm-hmm. It feels like, I wonder what would happen if there was like a, you took the best things out of each of them, like having lyrics in the guitar one and a little bit of a electronic backing or something.
I have a surprise for you.
What's that?
We've not heard this on the show before. Ladies and gentlemen, world exclusive. Brian asked a question. I have an answer.
Oh, get out of here. You don't have something already.
Check it out. All right, hold on. I got to find the one. Okay, is this the one? Okay, that's not it. Hold on. Just hang on.
Okay.
Here we go.
Is there really one that... Okay, go ahead.
It's the Morning Stream. Almost every day, Scott and Brian. They're gonna talk about a lot of things with really cool people. And the caveman is the Morning Stream. Bites of audio data sprinkle into your ears. Hold on tight, cause you're really gonna love the show, though. It's the Morning Stream.
So that's
like the lost intro, yeah. Right? Because then it launches into the part that we're familiar with.
Yeah, I did. I cut it out because it was too long, but it's a pretty special piece of business there.
It is.
I meant to play it before. I don't know why I forgot, but yeah, I've been meaning to actually put that out there.
Oh, that's hilarious.
So that's Bo Schwartz, my co-host on Core, and he's a talented and funny bastard.
He is. I like those lyrics.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Maybe we need another vocalist, but I like those lyrics a lot.
Oh, that's good stuff. All right. Yeah. So let's get into it. We got a show. We got Nicole later and Recommendals, which we prepared for weeks ahead and had it all planned out. And
right. Exactly. That's certainly our Recommendals weren't something that we came up with about 20 minutes ago.
No, they were, it was a long time and right. I feel good about that preparation. You know, they say preparation is 2/3 of the night or something. I don't know.
Something like that. Yeah.
Before we do any of that or get to that or call Daryl or any of this other stuff, I did want to make a comment about something I thought was interesting. So what usually happens in the world of high powered, very rich people, especially in the tech sector, is while they're young, let's say 25 to 45, the focus is on earning more and more money. So let's take Bill Gates, for example. It was all about, let's make Microsoft huge, let's continue to just destroy the world with our enormous business, blah, 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 right? Mm-hmm. Then he gets to a point where it's like, all right, you're just on the board, you're kind of retired, we're handing the keys over to Steve Ballmer, off you go, Billy. And he becomes one of the world's great philanthropists. He's giving a huge portion of his money away for big causes and is in a lot of ways responsible for the eradication of malaria in some parts of the world and all kinds of really important things being done.
Yeah, lots of stuff like that.
Yeah, he's the man, right? Mm-hmm. Good job, yeah. Bill Gates. And we all love it, and we're glad that he's doing that. And somebody, you know, with that kind of, you don't need that kind of money. Like, you've got, you take 1% of the money you made, and you're still one of the richest right. dudes in the world.
Exactly. You're living comfortably. You don't need, right, you don't need more than that.
Yeah, you really don't. So spend it. Well.
All that clippy money.
Now, here's the deal. We got, you got the Zuckerbergs there.
Mm-hmm.
Zuckerberg and his wife Zuckerina. I don't know her name.
Zuckerbabe. Zuckerberg and Zuckerbabe.
She had a. They had a little baby, and this little newborn he wrote a letter to the newborn, and in the letter to the newborn, has committed to give 99% of their wealth to charity. So
that's amazing.
That's Facebook shares. On Tuesday, Facebook's chief executive announced via a letter to his newborn daughter Max. Maxine, I suppose, is what that's short for, right?
I hope so.
Yeah, not Maxwell.
Everything I've seen is Max. Yeah. And
They keep saying newborn daughter. I just want to make sure the papers aren't misreporting the gender of the child.
She's a daughter, okay. And they did name her Max. And I haven't seen anything that expands that to Maxine. So
okay. Maybe it's...
At least they didn't name her, you know...
Like,
right? That's exactly what I was thinking.
My name is Like. My name is Wall. Anyway, then he. My name is Meme. My name is Outrageously Upset Political Freak Show. That he and his wife would donate 99% of their Facebook shares, currently worth, and just sit down for this number. Mm-hmm. Their Facebook shares are currently worth $45 billion with a B.
Wow.
$1 billion during their lifetimes. The world's 16th wealthiest person and America's richest entrepreneur under 40 framed it as a way to help better the world for a newer member of his family and the rest of her young generation. It also underscored a new era of giving in Silicon Valley and challenging other young billionaires to do the same. So, cynics might say,
well, it's easy for them to do because the 1% they're keeping is worth billions, you know, whatever, right?
Right, which... Why? Yeah, I mean, that is true, and why is there a problem with that?
That's like, to me, that's entirely the point.
Yeah.
Like, they can do it. They can actually do this. They could get all hoardy and Scrooge McDuck on everybody, you know, and right. just, like, turtle up and hold all the money for themselves, but no. They're going to give it away, and they're not just giving it away. It's not like, all right, free money for everybody.
Line up.
This will be like a, you know, like Bill Gates does, very focused, very, you know, hopefully... what's the word I'm looking for? Hopefully innovative in how they spread mm-hmm. the wealth around. Mm-hmm. Dude's only 31, dude.
Right.
31 years old, George Zuckerberg Jr. there. What's his real name? I already forgot it. Mark Zuckerberg.
1%. Thanks, TVZ Gone. He says, 1% is 480 million.
Yeah,
so
I think they're
fine. You can live pretty well on 480 million.
Seems like it. Seems like that's enough money to... Go to the movies, get your, you know, have a date once in a while.
Right, exactly.
Pay the
you
car
know, maybe
payment.
Not get the extra value meal, but get the meal, get the combo.
Yeah, you don't have to supersize everything, Zuckerberg. Anyway, I'm preferring to not be a cynic about this and to see it as a really cool thing, and I hope more of this happens. It's nice to see...
Totally.
It's how do I? What's the word for this? It's nice to see the 1% give 99%, you know?
Wow. Well said, sir.
How you like that? That's a t-shirt. Put that on my gravestone. What would I like on my tombstone? Do they still make tombstone pizza? Not to change
sure
gears
they do.
Here. Do they?
Yeah.
Okay. Hold on. We're going to check.
DiGiorno's eating their lunch, though.
Pizza. Well, they've really outmarketed them, haven't they?
Mm-hmm.
It's not delivery. It's DiGiorno. Although,
exactly.
When you say it's not delivery, it's DiGiorno, aren't you kind of, I don't know, it's bad comparison because delivery's not great. It's okay.
Sure. Well, you can tell the difference between a frozen pizza you stick in the oven mm-hmm. versus a pizza that gets delivered.
I guess so. It's just a you low know, bar of comparison is what
oh,
I'm saying.
Oh, I don't think so. Because they're you know, Marco's Pizza delivers, and Marco's is really, really good. At least around here, it's really good.
I've never even heard of Marco's.
So good.
That's a Colorado joint, must be?
It is a Colorado joint, yeah.
That sounds all right. Now, what the best we can do, I'm sure there's some other options, but, you know, Domino's and...
Yeah, I mean, if you're just going to deliver it. And again, yeah, you're right. I mean, if there are places you go to eat, I'd say Pieology is pretty good as far as like your casual mm-hmm. sit down. Mm-hmm. What's another good go-to pizza place? Oh, Pasquini's here.
Pasquini? Is that really
Pasquini's,
a name?
Yeah, that's a local. That is a local family-owned place.
Pasquini.
Pasquini's.
I don't like the name.
No, it sounds a little too much like squirini.
Yeah, and it makes my face squinch up when I say it.
Pasquini
pizza. all right, so Tombstone's still around. They are owned by the Nestle Corporation, a huge faceless conglomerate.
I hear that they're changing their slogan to "It's not cardboard, it's Tombstone."
It's Tombstone. Yeah. What would you like in your cardboard? I mean, Tombstone. They say that'd be a great ad. Anyway, I didn't mean to go that far with the pizza thing, but you know what? I hope more, even millionaire types, who cares? I mean, even thousandaire types would pay attention to this and think this way. I mean, you can do some here's the thing with that kind of money. It's one thing to say, I'm going to donate, you know, $100 to Child's Play or something, which is a great thing. And it's going to help on a very small and very individual level. And that's good. It's a whole nother thing where you say, I've got, you know, $40 billion I'm going to invest in various charities around the world, things against diseases, helping communities build, you know, clean water, whatever it is. That kind of money makes an actual dent, like real impact. Like you can make a real hole in stuff.
Totally, yeah.
With that kind of cash.
Using it for research for the betterment of mankind.
Yeah, let's get some cancer research out of this thing. Let's get some... some of the Alzheimer business there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's never good when you can't think of the word Alzheimer. You know what I mean? There's some irony there coming from me.
There's a little irony there. We actually just watched Still Alice the other night, by the way.
I can't watch it. I can't bring myself to do it.
I know. That was actually the same problem we had because, you know, with it being so rampant in Tina's family, it's like, oh my God, this is gonna be a tough one to get through.
Yeah.
Julianne Moore is amazing. Yeah. She deserved the Oscar that she won for that because she was hands down just fantastic in that movie.
She's great.
Alec Baldwin's a little bit of a dick.
Really?
That movie.
Well, I feel like you could have said that in any context and it would have come out normal.
Right.
Yeah, that's fine.
And
I don't know. So tell me do you think it's, I mean, you liked it, right?
I mean, I really liked it. Yes. It, you know, I'm not afraid of watching movies that I know are going to have a big impact. I know that they, and that's why I watch them. If I think about a movie for a long time afterwards of like, oh yeah, that was really good. And it comes back up. It's like, oh yeah, I remembering that scene of that discussion. Then I figure that's the sign of a good movie. If I walk out of it and can't remember a damn thing about it the next day,
mm-hmm. Yep.
then usually it
was poo. What was it? Give us an example of poo. What have you seen lately where you couldn't remember it when you walked out? Can you think of one? This is the irony. You're not going to be able to think of one.
I know, right? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, you could name some recent to DVD movies or recently released movies, and I could tell you if I watched them, but...
Yeah, I can't think of one that's... I'm trying to think that I came out of it just going, all right, well, that was just kind of average.
Yeah, we've been pretty good about what we picked to watch on Netflix streaming or what. We still get the DVDs every once in a while because we like the newer stuff. Pixel, I mean, Still Alice isn't streaming yet, so we wanted to make sure.
Oh,
you
know what? I got one. It just came
to me. Tell me.
Age of Ultron left me completely just...
Oh, really?
I
wouldn't go that far with that.
Easily for me, because it was just so... It was just boring. I didn't think it was interesting at all. I thought it was way too many characters trying to do very average jobs of getting screen time and...
Well, it looks like with Civil War, you're not going to have to worry about that. We were thinking it was going to be like Civil War. We'll feature everyone that's ever appeared in a Marvel movie ever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it did seem like that was going to be a new Avengers film cast-wise, but not so much.
You know, just from that preview, it's like, yeah, no Thor, no Hulk.
Yeah.
I mean, really kind of the core team.
Yeah, I'm excited about that because I think the Russos have a good feel for this and they're going to kick it because I love that last one. So I'm pretty stoked about that. But for whatever reason, I mean, you know, part of it was I was flying so high off of Winter Soldier that I came into that thinking, oh, they'll continue that relationship with Black Widow and Captain America, and they're going to really push that. They didn't do any of that stuff. Like, it was just like you barely felt like they knew each other in that movie. And that bothered me. So part of it was that, but a bigger part of it was just too much, all over the place. The heart of it wasn't there the way it was in the first Avengers. I don't know. It's hard for me to explain, but that's a movie where I walked out and I couldn't tell you. I know there was a big floating city at some point. It was like some Quicksilver business there.
Right.
I'm pretty sure Hawkeye has a family. Is that what happened there? Yeah.
Yeah, that's something like that, yeah.
Yeah, he's got
By the way, just to kind of bring something back that we talked about a minute ago, Domino's Pizza is changing their slogan. They're changing their
What's it going to be?
Their theme. Well, actually, I put a copy of their new slogan, their new audio jingle in the TMS covers folder.
Oh, let's have a listen, shall we?
Yeah.
Let's just take a check here. Let's see, TMS covers. Is it in the Wednesday folder?
It's in today's folder. Yeah.
Okay, so here we go.
This is cool because this is like breaking news, right?
Yeah, breaking news, everybody. Stand still and listen to this. Here you go.
When you're done with your Domino's pizza, eat the box because it tastes the same.
Paul and Storm, everybody. Paul and Storm. Fantastic.
Classic.
I don't think I've ever heard them do that.
Yeah, they have a whole bunch of rejected TV slogan or TV commercial jingles that are like that.
That's really good.
You've heard the Twister one, right?
Yeah, that one. I think I have heard that, but I didn't realize it was a bunch of them.
A series.
Yeah. Did they put them all out in one big compilation, or how'd that go?
It was all on one of their albums, like intersprinkled with all of the regular songs.
Well, I like a good intersprinkling of Paul and Storm. Let's buzz Daryl right in the ear hole and see what he's doing right now.
Oh, okay.
See what that's about. See what's on his plate. Let's see here. Get that part of this thing going. And then we'll hit this little button here, which I think plays music. Oh, it's quiet. It's Stump a Trek Nerd, brought to you by
Keymailer. Whether you're a casual streamer or a YouTube superstar, Keymailer makes it easy for content creators to request and receive keys for Steam games to showcase on their channels. Go to keymailer.co and sign up now.
Now, that's how I got Just Cause 3 yesterday. A brand new release.
Oh, from Keymailer.
Yeah, Keymailer is because I'm part of that program and it's awesome. Wow. I freaking love it. So
that's
if you're so cool. You got any kind of little audience or whatever, you go, you just tell them where you're at, what your channels are. They'll evaluate that stuff and then send you keys based on it. It's pretty rad.
Nice.
And our friend Terpster is involved, which I always want to help Terpster.
He needs help.
He needs a lot
good
of
source
help.
For, he's a good recipient of help.
Yeah, he's a receptacle of help, really. What are we doing here? Daryl time. Daryl, how are you there?
Yes, as always.
Fantabulous. What's life like there on your side of the world? What's going on over there?
It's just fine.
Oh.
I'm having coffee and waiting to speak to you.
Is it, Pacific Northwest, that's where you live, in the Seattle area there. Can you tell me... Is it quirky and weird, as we would be led to believe by such classics as Twin Peaks and other things like that? Like, if you go to the Pacific Northwest, are you going to have some kind of weird, out-of-body, you know, thing happen? Or weird people in cafes that say weird shit all the time? Like, what happens there?
In the 90s, yes, definitely, okay. But not so much.
Not so much now. Now, what changed? What happened?
Does everyone still wear flannel all the time?
No, and it's not always foggy.
Because they even filmed Northern Exposure there, which is one of the quirkiest, coolest shows ever made. And it was supposed to be about Alaska, but it was filmed in the state of Washington, which I don't know where, because they had a lot of snow there, and you don't get a lot of snow where you're at there. But there must be something higher up, I guess.
It was kind of in the mountains, sort of on the other side of the mountains.
Oh, okay, all right. Yeah.
So it was snowy there.
I like that a lot. And
I've been there to that city. What's it called?
Chippewa. It's like some old Indian. It's some old Native American name, right? Like
starts with a C. I don't remember.
Kapikachapa.
To change the subject only slightly, I was going to apply to be on Survivor in this the second series.
Yeah.
Second season.
Yeah.
And I,
series?
It was going
what are you,
to be
British?
Survivor.
Jeez. Anyway, go ahead. What?
I was going to do a video called Survivor Alaska, and I was going to film it where they did Northern Exposure.
Oh, and was your goal to make it look like you were surviving in the Alaskan tundra and fool
them?
Yeah,
exactly.
Oh, wow.
And there would be the doctor's office and everything from Northern Exposure and the camel wall and everything.
So what stopped you from doing this? Why come you didn't do it?
I don't know. I just... Well, I hate camping, and I guess it was too much like camping.
You heard it here first. Survivor is too much like camping.
It's exactly like camping.
Yeah, it is really like camping.
It's not even like passing similarities to camping.
It's the worst kind of camping.
Exactly. That's it seemed like camping to get... where everyone forgot to bring stuff.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to bring a tent. Oh, no, I thought you were going to bring food. Crap.
So wait. I just want to get this straight. You didn't want to do Survivor, not because they were going to make you eat like a pig rectum, or not because you
That's
had
fear
to...
fear factor, Scott.
No, but they do that sometimes on the challenges, right?
They did that early on. They did it a lot.
Right. Yeah. Which would have been season one, season two, which was the time you were applying.
That's true, yeah. But it was like one challenge where you had to eat balloon. Yeah.
So that part didn't turn you away. The fact that it's too much like camping.
I would have gone there and they said, here's your slug rats to eat. And I would have said, oh, okay, I'm out.
Slug rats.
There's no way I would win that. So I might as well just stay out.
Listen, the slug rats were my favorite gang in the Warriors movie. They were fantastic. Love the slug rats.
I have all their albums.
They're fantastic. All right, Daryl, let's get to your question here. It's a Star Trek question for you, the Trek nerd. It is Next Generation related, which seems like pretty much the norm now. In the Next Generation episode, Future Imperfect, Riker, that's how I view lunch today, by the way. Riker passes out and wakes up in the future. He is now the captain of the Enterprise and has a son named Jean-Luc. I don't remember this at all.
No, that's not Future Imperfect.
Well, whatever. Anyway, Riker determines this reality is fake and was created by Jean-Luc.
Oh, yes, it is. Okay. No, now I remember.
All right, sure. It turns out Jean-Luc is an alien and finally reveals himself to Riker. What is the name of this alien? Is it A, Groupish? Or is it Gruppish? It might be Gruppish.
Gruppish? Gruppish?
Yeah, Groupish. Is it Rix, R-I-X-X? Never trust a guy named Rix. That's like multiple Ricks.
Rix!
Ona or Anna or Barash Obama.
I was waiting for that.
So you got Groupish, Rix, Ona, which is O-N-N-A, or Barash. Them's your options. I want you to think real
this
hard.
This was a little kid, I think, that was the alien.
Yeah. Well, he manifested as a kid, right? Because he was his son. And then didn't he change or pop into some other form or something like that? He used some bad 90s morphing thing. If I'm remembering the right episode.
Right.
They've done it a lot. So while you think about it.
Ah!
Oh, that's the wrong one.
Hey.
Tell us.
It's good too, though.
Yeah, that one's all right. Tell us today what happened in Star Trek history.
On this day in 1987, it was the seventh and last day of filming of the TNG episode 1100101.
That's the Binar episode, right?
Yes, the Binars.
And is that the one that Bender riffs on in Futurama, because that's the exact same binary code used on that episode where he keeps going 1100111. You know the one I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It must be that he's referring to.
Got to be.
I wonder how that game's coming along. So supposedly they soft-launched that app for Android and soon iOS for this Futurama game, and some people are saying it's nothing like what you think it's going to be. Mm-hmm. I thought it was going to be like build up the base and, you know, have buildings and research stuff and speed it up with space gems or whatever, and
go
out and attack other delivery services, and all done with the humor, you know, kind of basically Simpsons Tapped Out, but maybe a little more what's the stuff people are into now, like Clash of Clans style sort of attacky things in it. Oh, I have a Star Wars game to recommend. I'll tell you about that in a second.
Oh, yeah. Is it the new one with the hollow tables?
Yes. It's ridiculously fun.
Heroes, Star Wars Heroes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, here's the thing. It's the same template as 1,000 of these games.
Right. Yeah.
They're all doing the same stupid thing. Exactly the same template. It's like they cut it out of a cookie cutter. But because it's all Star Wars themed, I'm all in on it.
Yeah.
Those bastards, dude. Look what they're doing to us. Look what they're doing. It's really good. I like it.
It is good.
It's pretty. It looks great. Sounds amazing. Man, it's amazing what you can do when you get access to all the Star Wars sounds and music. What you can do to
your when you have yeah, totally.
Yeah. These guys just come in and take whatever they want. Hey, Bill, I need all the saber sounds today. Okay.
Here's a folder with all of the wiki noises.
I'll share it with you. It's in Dropbox. So, all right. What? Oh, okay. That's 87. Good job. That. Daryl, let's saunter on back to the trivia side of the table and get your impression of this here imperfect future thing or future imperfect. Which one of those things do you think it is? I have no idea. I will say that up front. Well, I do because I know the answer, but I would not have known coming to this if it was Groupish, Rix, Anna, or Barash.
No idea.
Yeah.
One of these sounds familiar, the others don't. So I should probably just go with that.
The one that sounds familiar?
I don't know where Gruppish is from. I don't remember anything called that. Rick's is what you get rolled when that music comes on.
Yeah, Rick's rolled. You've been Rick's rolled.
And Ona, Anna, whatever that is. Oh, she's the princess of in Frozen.
She is? Oh, I think that's Anna, and like with an A.
Or wait, no, is that the... No, it's not the princess. It's the... I mean, it is the princess, not the queen.
Yeah, that. Well, wait. Who's the queen?
Elsa. And oh. I know all this stuff because of a 5-year-old girl.
Hold on. I got to capture that out by itself. That's pretty funny. So hold on a minute. Anna is the... I don't think she's the queen. Do you mean...
No, she's
Anna
the...
and Elsa. She's right. Anna's the sister. The
does she become...
Maybe I
the...
have it backwards.
Does she become it's... the queen? Hold queen on. Maybe Elsa. Let's go back in time. Do you want to build
a say
snowman?
It. You know, we were talking about movies that I forgot as soon as I walked out. Frozen is one of them.
Really?
I remember there was a snowman singing.
There was. I like Frozen. I thought Frozen was good. I mean, I'm sick of how overplayed it's been, but I liked it as a film.
Yeah, I agree.
It was Elsa. Elsa.
Yeah.
Queen Elsa, Elsa, yeah.
And yes. Anna was the redhead that says, "Do you want to build a snowman?" Isn't it? Isn't she the
yeah.
one? Okay.
If you say so.
All right. Great. She was played. She was played by what's her name from the oh, shoot, married to Dax Shepard.
Right, Kristen.
Kristen Friendwick. Fran.
Oh my God.
Beelzefrack.
She was on Heroes, right? Am I thinking of the same one?
No, the not on Heroes. Season? No, you're thinking of Hayden Pan at Planetarium.
No, I'm not.
That's
her name.
Planetarium.
Bell, Kristen Bell.
Kristen Bell, that's it. Was right, she in Heroes?
Not, yeah, she was the other show, the not Wonderfalls. What was it? It was, they just did a Kickstarter.
Yeah, where there. she was a secret or a reporter.
Oh my gosh.
Reporter private detective lady in high school and then college.
Yes, exactly.
It was called
My So-Called Life is My not what it was called. So it was called Veronica Mars.
Gosh dang it. Veronica Mars, that's it. Ugh, that was killing me. My wife watched that thing, like, binged it like a freak.
Yes, and she was in Heroes from 2006 to whenever.
That helps a lot, Titus, in the chat room. VM, he says. Thanks. We appreciate that.
She was virtual memory.
Yeah, virtual memory. All right, so anyway, sorry, Daryl, you were... This was you deliberating.
Okay.
Oh, I hear office fodder. What's going on?
There's junk happening.
That's good.
Way in the distance too. It's
yeah, it sounds
close.
Like a speaker. Like
the fire has made its way to the fourth floor.
like one of those, yeah. Right? The worst sound quality speakers ever. The ones that like you need to hear the best.
The emergency ones.
Be aware.
Exactly. Daryl, get out of your cubicle, and Gotham, take back your city.
Anyway. She's the little speed girl, Kristen Bell, in Heroes. I can't remember. Like she could. Stop time and run really fast, or no, she could just run really fast.
And it was, and wasn't she temporary-ish, like not there very long?
Like right.
It
was no, she wasn't like Hayden Panettiere or whatever you're
yeah,
saying.
Planetarium.
Hayden Planetarium.
Yeah, she's great. They hurt when she does. She does her Pink Floyd weekend. Oh man, so good.
Oh yeah, Laserium tonight.
Laserium.
The Hayden Planetarium.
Do you remember when that was all the rage, man?
Yes.
Is that still a thing you can do?
I don't think it is anymore. I'm thinking you can't go see Laserium anymore.
Because we had like Laser Floyd. They called it Laser Floyd, which is a great name on its own. Laser Floyd. Or they had Beatles, Laser Beatles here, and they also did one other thing that was Laser Led Zeppelin. They basically just did laser classic rock
right,
is
yeah,
what it was.
Yeah, exactly. It was Laser Aerosmith and Laser Floyd. And
yeah. Ooh, Laser Aerosmith. Sweet Emotion would be good.
Sure.
Loving an Elevator would be stupid.
Yeah, it kind of wouldn't. It would have to be old.
Yeah. Pre.
Well, that's right. Dice Tomato clears it up. Yes, she was. Kristen Bell was Electric Girl. Speed Girl was Brea.
Vandingo.
Brea Vandingo. Brea Grant.
Grant.
Yes.
Got it. Okay. Well, anyway, Laser Floyd is my new wrestling name. I'm gonna adopt it. I'm Laser Floyd. All right, Daryl, sorry. Continue on. Whatever you were doing.
Okay. Barash, I was thinking it was that, and I think I'll stick with that, even though now I'm thinking maybe it sounds familiar because of Barash Hellscream.
Oh, Barash Hellscream, the great leader, temporary leader of the Horde. It was then
yeah.
removed from his seat of power by both the Alliance and the Horde leaders. All right. Well, let's see if your Barash Hellscream is the correct answer. Is it?
Congratulations. Mm. You're a winner.
Hell Scream, Hell Scream. We all hell for Hell Scream. Let's see. Brosh is the name, and his mother left him on a planet so their enemies wouldn't find him. He was lonely and created the simulation so he would have a companion. Here's the clip of that stuff going down. How weird, this thing.
Captain, perhaps it would be best if we discuss this.
Shut up!
Wow.
I beg your pardon.
I said shut up! As in close your mouth and stop talking.
Will, I sense how upset you are. You're angry and impatient.
Deanna, back off.
Wow, you know what? Good thing you got Deanna Troi there to tell you that she senses you're upset and impatient. Because I couldn't have told.
Right, I'm sensing some hostility and anger.
Yeah, Yeah, beta Zeds.
Sure, but
what a crock, what a racket those people turned out to be. Sheesh.
It was imperfect.
Yeah, it was an imperfect future. All right, Daryl, good job. You did it. That puts you, let's see, did you get it right yesterday? I think you did. Didn't you? I think you did.
Oh, sure. You can put me down for that.
All right, so two wins in a row. That's pretty strong. Tomorrow is your last day to see how you did. No, three wins in a row, right? Or did you get Monday?
I can't remember how you did Monday. For some reason, I'm thinking you missed Monday.
Yeah, you might have missed Monday. Not missed it, but got it.
Oh, let me check my records.
Do you have records for this?
Do I?
Yeah, you didn't get Slade Bender. Slade Bender. Don't listen to Daryl. He's lying.
Yeah. Zarek says Obama's like Thrall. Donald Trump is like Hellscream. Yeah, I could see that. Kind of a fascist.
Oh, actually, you didn't get yesterday right either. Didn't you say Manhunt? When it was the Survivors?
Oh, right.
No, I said Survivors, because of Survivor.
Oh, did you? Okay.
Oh, did you? I don't know. You don't like camping.
I thought you said Manhunt because it seemed like I was watching a lot of Manhunt lately. I can't remember.
I don't think so.
I walked out of this show and I can't remember a damn thing.
This is pretty scientific what we do here. Daryl's the Trek nerd. You can find him on Neared. He's the nerd. Trek nerd, not Neared. You can find him on This Week in Trek, thisweekintrek.com, and the Grumpy Cast. And now Daryl will give us some kind of contest of some sort. Let's do it. Let's hear it. What do you have?
Okay, I changed this at the last second. It's now something different.
Okay.
Ron Moore or Roger Moore?
Ron Moore or Roger Moore?
Moore or Moore?
Hold on, Roger. Here you go.
Wash your hands, Roger.
Okay, there you go. Roger Moore or Ron Moore? All right, go ahead. Ron Moore, by the way, Ron Moore right now is sporting what I believe to be about a 36-inch neck. Have you seen him lately?
I know.
It is weird.
He's always looked like that.
It's really weird.
Hard to buy dress shirts.
Yeah, or like a cobra. Like I don't know. It's right. Really weird. Anyway, so go ahead.
Okay. My acting range has always been something between the two extremes of Raze's left eyebrow and Raze's right eyebrow.
Oh my gosh.
Acting range. Well, has Ronald Moore ever acted in anything?
Not that I know of.
I know he's done, he's written, and that does seem like it's Roger Moore's modus operandi, right?
Yeah.
He just raises his left eyebrow, raises his right eyebrow.
Yeah.
Money Penny.
I think
on this one. I think it's Roger Moore.
I guess Roger Moore is the shaken, not stirred. He's a
right. Yeah, he's not the right. We were doing the Sean Connery voice, but
that's my impression of Roger Moore. Let's say I like where your head's at. I would think Roger Moore, and that really does feel like the extent of his acting range.
It really does, yeah.
So I feel like he's trying to trick us into thinking Ron Moore is talking like Spock raising eyebrows or something, or you know, there's some Star Trek thing. But I really feel like the Roger Moore thing's right.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Daryl, we say Roger Moore.
Ron Moore was once asked if he could act, and he said something else because that was Roger Moore that said this.
Do we have on record what he said? Because that, or you just made that up?
No, I just made that up.
My acting is worse than Roger Moore, is what Ronald Moore said.
Fantastic. Here's your news.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
Let's do a little news brought to you by.
Want to see what Just Cause 3 looks like? Find out at youtube.com/ScottJohnson.
That's right. So I did a live stream with the chat room, had some fun, 4 o'clock Scott, and then I posted it to YouTube. So if you guys want to see how that went, You can check it out. That game is ridiculous on all levels. Yeah, it's like
I don't even know if I've ever played a Just Cause game. What's the
It's a big open world sandbox, right? Like the whole it's all based on like super awesome, ridiculous, over the top movie tropes, like action movie to the extreme.
Okay.
All very tongue in cheek and goofy that way. And then you're this guy named Rico Sanchez.
Okay.
Is it Sanchez? I think so. And he's just great. And he's got every weapon known to man. You start the game on the you climb out of an airplane, climb on top of it, and fire missiles to anti-aircraft batteries below you.
Oh my God.
That's how the game starts.
Look at these photos. Holy cow.
Your goal is just to blow everything up. Avalanche Studios just makes crazy cool games like this. And this is, so far, it's exactly what you want it to be. There's like these weird things where you can throw like a grappling hook into a exploding barrel and then a grappling hook into a giant gas tank and then hit a button to have the barrel fly, like basically retract the cord, and the barrel will fly up at the gas tank and explode and like destroy buildings everywhere. It's just amazing, that kind of stuff. So anyway, it's really cool.
Runs great on PC. Yeah, this is the photos right now. It's like, wow, this is insane.
It's pretty neat.
It looks like it's a Steven Seagal movie brought to video game.
Mm-hmm. I'll be streaming more of that tonight. So
Chuck Norris.
Tune in at what time am I doing it? 4 o'clock. 4 o'clock, Scott.
Cool.
Scientists invented a urine black hole that prevents pee splashback. A real problem, turns out.
Yes. Not even light can escape its grasp.
No. You want? Don't worry about pee. Worry about your whole reality.
The light beer can escape its grasp.
That's exactly right. According to Gizmodo, a pair of splash experts have invented a urine black hole that basically splash experts.
I went to school for splash. My major was splash. We had to watch that Tom Hanks movie over and over again.
Oh, man. Hey, you know what I forgot was in Splash? I always forget this, but John Candy's in Splash. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's like Tom Hanks' best friend.
Yeah, I totally forgot about that. Every once in a while, I'll be reminded and go, oh, yeah. You know, I want to kind of do, after watching Trains, Planes, and Automobiles, or Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, that's what I said. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It made me want to watch, just kind of go on a binge of John Candy movies.
Boy, that's a that's a narrow road, man. Well, you know, you got to be careful. Make sure you get more Blues Brothers and less Wagons East.
So here's where I would go. Didn't he die filming Wagons East? I think he did.
I think so, yeah.
So I would start with, here's my list. Stripes.
Yep, good.
Planes, Trains.
So far, so good.
Uncle Buck.
Yeah, all right.
Not the camping one with Dan Aykroyd.
Great Outdoors,
Hate that movie. Ugh, I know some people love it. I freaking hate Great Outdoors so bad. Definitely not the Squirini movie either.
No, God, no.
Boy, now you
know. Was he even in? Wait a minute. Was he in that? I thought that was just Dan Aykroyd.
No. He was the police guy.
Oh, right. Yeah, of course. Yeah, duh.
He was in that.
Throw your Jamaican bobsled team in there.
Oh, right. That's a good one. Cool Runnings. Yep.
Cool Runnings.
That's four movies. Number five. Oh, geez. This is harder than I thought it would be. I can't think of anything else. There's other
stuff.
I'm
looking through the list here. You get your JFK.
Oh, he's great in JFK.
Forgot he was in JFK.
He's amazing in that. That's such a different thing, though. But
it really is. You can't.
I love JFK. I'm a huge fan of that movie. To the left, to back into the left.
Here. Are you going to do your Spaceballs? Oh, Little Shop of Horrors. I mean, it's a brief one. He's the radio. He's the DJ.
Yeah, I'm even cool with the little stuff. It's fine.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I feel like his film career was even. Well, part of it is because it was cut so short, but if you took Chris Farley and John Candy and matched up their films, you probably have about equal number of good versus bad.
I think so, yeah. Same percentage.
Yeah.
Throw in Vacation.
Oh, Vacation.
Moose Outside, should have told you.
Yeah, that's good. Original Vacation,
maybe,
right?
Brewster's Millions. There's a charm to that movie.
I agree.
Do you do 1941?
I don't remember it. I do not remember that movie.
The worst Steven Spielberg thing ever.
Crystal Skull Says Hello.
Good point. Okay.
That movie.
Good point. I think we need to watch 1941 for film sec if it ever goes on streaming.
I wouldn't mind. That was between Jaws and the next thing, right, for him?
Yeah. Yeah.
I can't think of anything else. But yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing a few John Candy movies. Maybe that makes it good because then it's digestible. I don't have to worry about 50 movies. I can just watch three or four, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, what's the deal with this pee? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it won't splash back on you.
Dan Turscott, director of the Utah State University Splash Lab. Hey, check it out.
Okay. There's a splash lab.
Up at the Utah State University. That's about an hour from me north. My daughter did a semester or two up there, my oldest. And graduate student Randy Hurd. That is such a Utah name, by the way.
What's Randy Hurd?
What Randy Hurd? Looked to design a urinal insert that does that will suppress the splash for you, even if you have poor technique. What does that
poor
mean?
Poor technique. Well, I like to pee straight at the vertical surface in a perpendicular fashion to increase the amount of urine dots on my dockers when I leave the bathroom. And how I have to pull my shirt down over it.
Urine dot dockers. I like that.
Urine dot dockers.
It's some sort of substance. It consists of a tall, relatively, forest of carbon nanotubes.
Really?
Yeah, into which light can enter but does not come out. Looking at pictures of this material, it's very eerie because it doesn't reflect a light in any way. We thought if it works with light, maybe we can find the conditions that make it work with droplets of pee. So the new design utilizes a similar black hole structure that keeps urine inside the bowl and away from your pants. They even simulated urine streams to test out the different ways splashback can happen in order to reach peak splash suppression.
Oh, you know that they had like a lab with little hoses set up that like pee at different angles.
Yep.
And then little blue paper when water hits it, it like, you know, shows different colors where the water hits it.
It's perfect. I love it. I want them to do more research like this. This is great. Yes.
Here at the Splash Institute,
we'd like to deal with these.
What are those holes?
Lava tubes.
Oh, they're lava tubes. All right. There's that story. That's a good one.
Great.
Sylvester Stallone, recently in Creed, apparently did real good in there. People are raving about
it. Everybody's saying it's a really good movie. Yep.
Yeah. All around, I hear it's just great. And it must feel good for Michael B. Moore. Is that his name? Michael Jordan Moore?
Michael B. Jordan.
B. Jordan. Michael Moore. he must be good for him to come off of that.
Shame on you, Mr. President. Shame on you.
It's good that he came off of that horrible Fantastic Four movie and then has this. So that's good. Fox is currently working with Sylvester Stallone to remake a version of Rambo. It's a father-son television series. How timely. We're about to watch First Blood this weekend.
Right.
You and I and the fans.
Is there an episode of
a very special
Rambo
episode?
Like one of the Rambo movies where he has a son?
Are you telling me
that that's my son?
Yeah. It's going to be, I'll tell you what it'll end up being. It'll be some half Filipino kid, because there'll be some backstory that one time Rambo got a little rambunctious in the jungle and someone he helped save or whatever he ended up doing the doodly with, right? That's what'll happen.
Right. And that boy grew up to be the lead singer of Journey. You had it here.
Don't stop. You just play that at the end. Let's see. Fox closed the development deal earlier this week. So this is a deal. It's a real deal. It's called Rambo New Blood. It will focus on Rambo's relationship with his ex-Navy SEAL son, Junior. Really?
JR.
Oh.
There's periods between those, but.
I don't like JR either.
No. Junior Rambo is what it's short for.
Junior Rambo. Rambo Jr., that's hilarious, dude. Holy shit. I can't watch the show now. His name's JR. It's just Junior Rambo. That's awful. Anyway, but they say the story will largely focus on an aging John Rambo. There's no word as to when the show will be filmed or ready for production, but Jeb Stuart, taking time off of his presidential campaign, who also worked on the original Die Hard and The Fugitive, wrote the pilot and would likely lead the writer's room if the series is okayed. Or was okayed. So it is okayed. I guess he's in charge now. So anyway, actually, you know what? Listen, in the era of cool cable ideas and a time when a Fargo TV show can be so freaking good, I think it's fine. Let's do it. Bring it on.
Yeah, but I mean, wasn't the whole... I don't know. I mean, what's going to be the series of the week or the problem of the week that gets solved with this?
Well, that's a really good question. Like, what is it? Is it him and his son going on like mercenary runs or, you know, what do you do? That's really weird. Oh, John Rambo, JR. Right.
Yeah.
I still think Junior Rambo is really funny.
I call him Junior Rambo Jr.
And who would the kid be? We got to cast him real quick. Who do we pick for a Rambo son?
And you get, what's his,
go ahead.
What's his face from, Dude, Where's My Car? Not Ashton Kutcher, but, Shawn Michaels, not Shawn Michael Scott, something.
Sean
Everett Wilmington.
Sean Everett Wilmington. That's it. I can't think of what it is.
Oh my God. I need some more ginkgo biloba, man. My, Sean William Scott.
Sean William Scott. That's it.
Yeah.
Not Sheila Boof and not Country Mac. Man, these are, the chat room's not helping. Yeah, Dwayne Johnson. That's it. Oh, Sean William Scott. That's it.
That was pretty close. Sean Wilmington Scott, yeah. I think I said, right?
Yeah, Wilmington something.
Scott. This. Everett Wilmington.
Everett Wilmington Scott.
Scott the third.
Yeah, I like that. Esquire. somebody says the Twilight dork. I think he means the...
Oh, God.
What's that kid's name that's not doing anything now?
The guy whose face looks like a foot.
Yeah, the foot face. No, not him. The other one. The werewolf kid.
Oh yeah.
What's his name? Let's do this again.
Jeez.
He plays Jacob, right? The character's Jacob.
Right, because it was either Team Edward or Team Jacob.
Yep, and so his name is Jared Everton Flamboyant. Shark Boy, that's it. I don't know who it is. Taylor Lautner, that's it.
Taylor Lautner. Oh, how quickly we forget.
It's not Everett at all.
No.
Anyway, I know this is killing. Jackalope is dying. It's the fourth time Jackalope says, gah, or WTF. I can tell we're driving him crazy. Yeah,
as long as we shoot for ticking him off in the chat room, then we're good. Or Jackalope, never mind.
It's, there he goes again. If only there was an internet, he says.
Lacar says, quick cover, who played the bird in The Lion King?
I know this.
It was Mr. Bean. Rowan Atkinson.
Rowan Atkinson, there you go. Right. It's, Black Adder himself. See, look at that. See what we did? No, it's fine.
Oh, no, it was Gilbert Gottfried, wasn't it?
No. Wait, the bird?
The bird.
No, the bird in Lion King was Mr. Bean. The bird, you're thinking of the parrot in Aladdin.
Aladdin, that's what I'm thinking of. Yes, yeah, yeah. Right. Oh, God. It's happening again.
It's happening. Help, it's happening. All right. Are people naming their babies after Instagram filters, Brian? Do you know if this is true?
Oh, I hope not. Please.
Turns out they are. Another year means another look at what monikers parents are giving their newborns. And while last year was all about Game of Thrones characters, that seemed to be the big hot thing. This year, babycenter.com say their hot baby trends of 2015 include a bunch of nods to Instagram filters, TV shows like Empire, and more pop culture references. So let's take a look at this. Are you going to name your kid X-Pro 2?
Yeah, probably not.
But here's some names inspired by that made the list. Lux, L-U-X. That's up 75% since last year. Lux, okay. Brian. Lux.
Lux.
Luxo Jr. Ludwig, up 42%. That's another one of those. Amaro. Okay. Amaro's okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost like they name their filters after real names. So at least it's not like it's, you know, sparkly.
Yeah, or sepia tone.
Or sepia tone. That was exactly where I was going. Right.
Hey, sepia tone, clean your room. Yeah. Oh, Mom.
Then you can go and hang out with Grayscale.
Yeah, you and Gray. Hey, listen, you and Black and White.
You can go hang out with old timey when your chores are done.
Let's see. Ray's, Hudson, and Kelvin are also on the rise for boys. Kelvin. What are you trying to get him beat up? What's the plan there?
Right.
While Valencia, Juno. Hey,
Kelvin, you're like the worst temperature scale ever. Boom.
Yeah. Boom. Boom. Kelvin. Take that, buddy. Valencia, Juno, and Willow are gaining in popularity for girls. Hmm. Willow's nice.
Mm-hmm.
Juno's okay. Juno reminds me of an oldie. Remember the free email client in the 90s called Juno Email? Do you remember that?
Barely. Yeah.
It was this free dial-up based service, and it fed ads, I want to say to you, but you could get your email through your Juno account, and it was a big deal because at the time that meant you didn't have to pay for AOL, and there were other email services, but they were all expensive. Dude, the 90s blew. The 90s kind of blew for early internet stuff. It was such a cash grab for all the dumbest parts. Like, the reason texting still exists is beyond my mind. I cannot understand how we accept the idea that a texting plan is needed for anyone. Right. It's so dumb.
It is really dumb, yeah.
Especially when you can download 15 different apps at any given time, WhatsApp or any of these other apps, and just do the same effing thing. Like, if it, say what you want about Apple, I applaud iMessage for what it is because it breaks away from it. Mm-hmm. It says, yeah, you if you're using iMessage and your other friends are too, think it's like using an app. Just talk. Right. Just chat. Because it's the freaking internet. You don't pay per character. What the hell were we doing back then? It's so dumb.
Is there an emoji surcharge?
Oh, my gosh, dude.
And don't get me started on GeoCities.
GeoShitties is what I call them. GeoShitties.
GeoShitties.
Remember web rings? Remember those?
Oh, yeah. A little thing at the bottom. It's like, click to go to the next site in this little ring.
Mm-hmm. Of people. They're like similar sites or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Right.
What was another dumb internet trope from the day? I love that kind of stuff.
The flashing icons, flashing GIFs.
Text, yeah. Did a little HTML tag that made your rainbow-colored headers.
Right.
Multiple tiled background textures.
With the same photo of Alyssa Milano in the background, just overlap one right after the other.
Yep. Frames. Oh, frames. Frames were shit. You know what was great,
especially
though?
Especially the 3D ones, right? Where you had the inset, the 3D is like...
Remember VR HTML or whatever it was? They were trying to make virtual web pages where you could like walk around a room right there in your browser.
Oh,
remember Microsoft Bob? Oh my gosh.
What was the Me? Windows Me?
Windows Millennium Edition, yeah.
Yep.
That thing was poo. Mm-hmm. Here's how I know it was poo. The previous version I had was Windows 98 and it ran my video games just fine.
Mm-hmm.
Put ME on there and I crashed 9 times out of 10. So that was a really bad operating system. Good job, Microsoft. Well done. What else is happening here? So they're naming their kids after all these stupid Instagram things. Right. Finally, in the news, a man was arrested with 51 turtles in his pants.
51?
51.
Just like, couldn't stop. 50 seems like where you'd stop.
Yeah, like we just had to have one more guy.
He's like the Cool Hand Luke of tortoise smuggling.
So there's this I Like Turtles kid. Have you seen him on YouTube before?
Oh, yeah. I remember. I Like Turtles. I'm going to play the zombie kid.
Yeah, I want to play his video because where is it? Here
didn't
we go.
All right. Well, there was a...
Go ahead.
There was a... like the opening thing that they play on airplanes to tell you how your seatbelt operates and what to do if there's a fire, run away from it. Mm-hmm. There was one that was just recent where they had all the meme people.
Oh, right. Delta did it, I think.
It was Delta, okay. And they had, wasn't I Like Turtles kid in there too? Like in one of the seats going, put your seatbelt on. I Like Turtles or something like that.
Yeah, I don't remember now. Oh, we're going to have to find that.
But it had like the attached girlfriend and,
they had that, that kid that sings. What's his name?
Yes, right. The Oompa Oompa kid or whatever it was.
That guy.
Yes, right.
Yeah, all the stupid early memes. Star Wars kid nowhere to be found. Where is that kid now? What's he doing?
He's really trying to avoid the limelight is what he's doing.
I mean, if he was in high school in like 99, so he's got to be in his 30s, right?
Yeah.
Early 30s. Right. Think of that.
Right.
Check this out. Here he is.
Here live at the Waterfront Village with my friend, the zombie, Jonathan. You're looking good. Jonathan just got an awesome face paint job. What do you think?
I Like Turtles.
It is the best.
He is the best.
He is simply the greatest thing in the world.
I really
want
to see him in The Walking Dead. Just, you know. Rick, we got to get Carl back in the house.
Carl.
What about that kid over there? I Like Turtles.
I Like Turtles.
Oh, no. Numa Numa kid. That's right. Numa Numa kid.
Don't kill me, Carl. Coral.
Coral.
Anyway, hey, how he says Carl.
Get back in the house.
What was the point here? Oh, another crazy Chinese story.
Wow, we sure.
Yeah, we went off the path there. Kai Zhu was arrested attempting to cross into the Canada from Detroit. This is in Michigan there, obviously. He had 51 live turtles down his pants, mostly strapped to his leg. Oh, that cannot be comfortable.
No.
He was apparently smuggling the turtles he had bought to resell outside the U.S. at a much higher price, according to the Associated Press. The investigation had started after a courier company in Detroit tipped the Wildlife Service to a package that he had and shipped back from Alabama addressed to Zhu. according to the court documents, agents watched as Zhu allegedly opened various boxes in the rear of an SUV, took out several round clear plastic containers and placed their contents into plastic baggies. He also had packaged tape and scissors. Special Agent James Fuller noticed irregularly shaped bulges under Zhu's sweatpants on both legs. This document states they busted him. He had 51 turtles. They must have been smaller turtles, right?
They must have been. And I hope, you know, don't do the snapping turtles. If you're going to shove 51 turtles down your pants, make sure they're not snapping turtles.
Yeah, don't do that. They'll get you in the testicle. That's it for your news. We're going to take a break when we come back. It's Recommendals with Nicole. Today's no theme day. We got just whatever the hell strikes our fancy.
And, right.
That'll be good. Also, Tom's Tech Time right after that. And a couple of calls today. I'm looking forward to these two. Before we do all that, though, music. How about that?
Sure. Well, Catherine wrote in and said, on November 5th, I lost one of my best friends to cancer. Today, December 2nd, would have been her 53rd birthday. Not only was she a friend, but my sister-in-law. She touched hundreds of lives over the past 30 years, first teaching dance and later running a performing arts school. There were close to 1,000 people at her funeral, a true testament to who she was. As my husband, about his sister, said, she will be missed but never forgotten. For the last few weeks of her life, we took turns driving back and forth to be with her and her family. You guys were with me in the car, giving me a chance to express my grief through laughter. Thank you. She had an amazing, eclectic taste in music, so I leave the choice up to you. Any type of pop, show tunes, calypso song will do. If that's too vast, then a musical about a chicken, a pig, and some cheese on ranch.
It's a tender crisp bacon cheddar ranch.
I'm ready for it.
You're ready. You heard the if that won't. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thanks for all the little differences you make in all of our lives, Catherine. Mm. Well, Catherine, I'm sorry to hear about your, we're sorry to hear about your friend. And sounds like she did some amazing things, and it's good that we can kind of remember her and honor in this way. Musicals was the thing that I gravitated to. And so I went to the recent Sound of Music episode of Coverville that I did, because there were some other songs in that list that I really liked that I didn't get a chance to play. And
did you do Hills Are Alive?
I did play the Hills Are Alive, because you have to play that one. And Do Re Mi and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. I originally had the song My Favorite Things. These are a few of my favorite things. Mm-hmm. But with all of the Man in the High Castle that I've been watching lately, it seemed natural that I would switch over to this one. Now, this is a version of Edelweiss. It's fantastic. It's performed by Masanori Tsumi. Mm. I believe is how you pronounce that. Guitarist extraordinaire. And this rocks. You're going to enjoy this. It's Edelweiss. From the Sound of Music.
If you want to be completely creeped out by a version of Edelweiss, I recommend watching Man in the High Castle, because good
yeah
Lord.
Well, it's funny, the version that they use as the theme is the version I played in that Sound of Music episode by The Innocence Mission.
Oh, interesting. So this was did this exist previous to I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, one note for you on the opening track of or the opening scenes of the this game, Just Cause 3, they play a cover of Firestarter.
Oh, really?
That is so great. I don't even know where to point you to it. I don't know who it is. I got to find out. Somebody in the chat room, can you guys seek this out? Because it is, Brian will want this. He'll want to play this, maybe even here. It's awesome.
What's the, what style of music is it?
It's like totally different than like the techno, you know, version of the original, right?
Right, the Prodigy version.
The Prodigy version.
There's a version by Jimmy Eat World that is...
maybe? I don't think so, though. It sounds
kind of a slower, guitar-y one.
Kind of, yeah. Maybe it's them? I don't know. It's so good, though.
All right.
And when it occurred to me, it's just like, I'm an instigator. I'm a fire starter. It's really good. And it fits the mood. It's just, it's perfect. It's one of the best intros.
Oh, yeah, Dice Tomato just linked it. So while you guys are listening to Edelweiss, I'll listen to this.
All right, here it is. We'll be back in a minute.
I guess I will skedaddle.
I don't understand how Noah's wife has that bell. I kind of got it.
The Morning Stream. I'll take you to Atlanta and you'll give me the cure.
We're back, everybody. That was lovely. That was a rousing version of that.
Yeah, that version of Firestarter from Just Cause. I do have it in my library. It's Tora Florim from Destat, and it's from the 2012 album Acoustic Dance Sessions.
It's so good.
It is really good. Yeah, there is a Jimmy Eat World version that's a little bit faster than that one, but and the Zimmers, which is a group of elderly cover artists from the UK, also do it.
Oh, weird.
Version of Firestarter.
Yeah,
good stuff.
Oh, I've heard that one. You played that one here before. The old people.
I think
one.
I have. Yes.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. I remember that now.
Old people doing Firestarter.
Ringing a bell.
I am the Firestarter.
I'm the Firestarter.
All right, we're gonna get Nicole in here. I think. There we go. Found it. Clicking it. Doing it. Making it happen. Clicking the deal. Having the stuff. Pushing it forward. Knocking it out. Here it comes. Right here. Nicole Spagnolo comes on the show on Wednesdays and talks to us about streaming movies and stuff that's cool to see and whatever. How's your cold? How's your cough? Is it gone? I hope it's gone.
Oh, it's still here.
Oh, wow. Man, what a ripoff.
Yeah, man, it just is lingering now.
Back in the Old West, you know, they'd move to Arizona to escape the consumption.
That's right.
But now you've got to go
somewhere.
Listen,
if you were going to have that cold anyway, you should have just come to Dragon Con, BlizzCon, because you would have, you know, it would have been no difference.
I kind of had a newborn.
Oh, well, that's right. Yeah, this little tiny baby life, this life form that requires you for its sustenance.
Somebody at the Guildhall would have watched her for you. It would have been fine.
Sure.
Somebody would have breastfed her for me.
Somebody in a dirty Ren Faire costume. It would have held the baby. It would have been fine. Hi. What's going on with you? How are outside of that? How are you doing? Do you enjoy your Thanksgiving and all that?
Oh yes, very much so.
Oh good. I know you like that.
Blessed. How about you guys?
We had a fine one. Brian, you
I need
too.
To throw away the leftovers in the refrigerator, though.
Oh,
yeah, they just kind of linger.
Can you? How good your throw? Because can you hit me? Because I'd eat them. I'll take them.
No kidding. I finished off the turkey yesterday.
Yeah, we didn't get very many because we had the four Thanksgivings first of all, but the one where they had the most turkey, they just kept it. They didn't give anybody any leftovers to take home. So,
really?
Yeah, that kind of sucked.
It's dingy.
Is it bad form? Like, if you go to your family's house for Thanksgiving, is it bad form to bring your own Tupperware?
It is. Now that you say that, I kind of wish I would have, because who cares?
Like, just fill it up.
Yeah, I don't need to worry about offending them. They're just my sister. Who cares?
They're family.
Yeah, they're family. When you hear
you're family.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it is recommendals time. We don't have a theme today, which means it's just random stuff, man.
Mm-hmm. It's a random kind of day.
Yeah, I'm totally cool with that. We have a tradition here where we start with Brian, and we may as well. Brian, do you have any setup for your Clippy?
Let's start with me and no setup. Let's just play the clip.
All right. This play is the today's. Clip. I didn't convert it, so hopefully it's all good. Here we go.
I told you you're wasting your time talking to her. However, you would not be wasting your time if you were dancing with her.
Took my clip.
No way, really?
Yes, this was my movie.
Oh, really? Is it really your movie?
Yes, it's my movie too.
Go ahead, dance with her. Dance with her.
I still don't know what it is.
No? You don't like dancing?
I didn't hear you.
She does.
Actually dancing.
Come on, buddy. After a long day of touring tests, you gotta unwind.
All right, I have no idea.
Did you didn't pick the same clip, did you?
No, I was going to play this clip.
Okay.
You programmed her to flirt with me. If I did, would that be cheating? Wouldn't it?
Oh!
I know what it is. What's your type?
I just saw it too.
Girl? No, salad dressing. Yeah, a girl. What's your type of girl? You know what? Don't even answer that. Let's say it's black chicks. Okay? That's your thing. For the sake of argument, that's your thing. Okay? Why is that your thing? Because you did a detailed analysis of all racial types and you cross-referenced that analysis with a points-based system? No! You're just attracted to black chicks. A consequence of accumulated external stimuli that you probably didn't even register as they registered with you.
Did you program her to like me or not?
I programmed her to be heterosexual. just like you were programmed to be heterosexual.
Nobody programmed me to be straight.
You decided to be straight? Please, of course you were programmed. By nature or nurture or both. And to be honest, Caleb, you're starting to annoy me now because this is your insecurity talking. This is not your intellect.
I love that line.
That's a great movie.
I love it.
Yeah, Ex Machina. Yeah, I like that.
I do the same thing.
I really like that movie a lot.
Me too.
It was really cool. And I think some people don't like that ending. I thought the ending was hardcore rad.
Mm-hmm. I like it because it left a number of things open.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
like,
big time.
Really start thinking about it. I don't want to give anything away.
Yeah, don't give it away. It's worth seeing.
There are layers to it that you're going,
The best part is the two main actors, the billionaire dude making the robot and the guy who goes to check it all out, they're both in this new Star Wars movie, so that'll be interesting.
Oh, really? Yeah. Caleb Smith and Nathan Bateman?
Yeah, cool. No, Nathan Bateman. Who's he?
Oscar Isaac. He's Oscar. He's the reclusive programmer.
You're giving me character names. Sorry, I'm losing my mind here. Yeah, because the other one's
Nathan Bateman and... I'm sorry, I was going the other way around. Yes, Domhnall Gleeson and Oscar Isaac are the actors. The characters are Caleb and Nathan.
So
yes.
Gleeson is... his dad is Paul Gleeson. He played Mad-Eye Moody in the Harry Potter movie. You know the one. You know the guy.
Yeah.
He's great. I like that guy a lot.
He was... Gleason is also in one of the episodes of Black Mirror.
Yeah, I keep hearing about that show. I keep telling you to watch.
Did you finally watch it?
No.
Okay, well, I have a replacement then that I can throw in. Something else that we watched on streaming.
Okay.
And I put it in the...
you already put it in the thingy?
It's in the... Yeah, it's in the show notes.
If you're listening to this and you have Amazon Prime, watch Ex Machina. It's really good.
Machinera, I like that even better.
Is it Machinera? No. I can't pronounce it.
It's Machina.
It's Machina.
Machina.
But Ex Machinera is my favorite thing to get at the noodles company.
If I can get the sauce on the side, that's what I order all the time.
I know, and the problem is Noodles and Company just doesn't do it. They won't give me the sauce on the side. all right, where did you put... Oh, you put it right here. I'm going to click this. And I concur with Nicole, and I also want to say...
McInair.
Is it only on? Yeah. Is it not?
It's only on,
Amazon
Prime.
Okay, it's not anywhere else. Okay,
it's only on Amazon Prime.
Yeah, it's really good. Okay, I always forget. I start to blur which services I watch the thing on.
Yeah,
I don't know why I'm doing that. All right, here you go. Here's this clip from Ryan.
Here he comes now, the big hand.
Snow.
All right, do we know it?
Don't need much more of that. It's a year without a Santa Claus.
So good.
And that is also streaming. You know, you look for these things every Christmas season. Frosty's Christmas and Charlie Brown Christmas and stuff like that. Rudolph. That by far is my favorite because of Cold Miser and Heat Miser.
Yeah, it was the most subversive of those stories, didn't you think? Like,
really is. Yeah. I mean, Santa Claus says, "Yeah, I'm giving it up for a year. I'm taking a year off. Screw you." And
it was cool. As a kid, I really related to that one.
Yeah.
Was it? That's not the one with the same as the Misfit Toys. That was
Rudolph was the one with the Misfit Toys.
Yeah.
But for some reason that's the one that I really, really like. And Tristan the other day was asking me, he's like, do we have any of those on Blu-ray or DVD? I'm like, no, we don't have any of those. But they're probably streaming somewhere. And I looked around and sure enough, they were streaming on Amazon Prime. So there's a few of them streaming on there. I think Rudolph is also streaming there.
Yeah.
And that's a great one to watch. I didn't realize it was like almost an hour and a half long.
Yeah, it's a beast. 90-minute kids fair, man.
Exactly.
And as a kid, I just would gather around that TV. I couldn't wait for that thing to come on. I loved it.
Me neither.
It's interesting what the networks do. They chop up. Like, for instance, Frosty has been chopped up a number of times, and songs have been removed and then put back in. And you're like, for the longest time, I'm like, I know that there was a Frosty song for Silver and Gold. Mm-hmm. It wasn't being played.
Oh, really?
It's Frosty. It's Rudolph.
Rudolph. Right. Yeah. No, I'm with you there. I remember that as well.
Rudolph singing at the beginning.
Yeah. Right.
But if you go through, there's actually a Wikipedia page about it of throughout the years why they chop things out, and you can actually see how the lips don't match up because they use different clips.
Oh no, really? Oh, that's lame.
To shorten it up for time on broadcast. television.
Yep.
Oh.
I wish. I hope they. A lot of this stuff shows up as re-released, and you know.
Well, it has. I mean, with the DVDs and things like.
That's true. I guess
there's like a Rankin and Bass collection that I think has at least five or six of these, all the Rankin and Bass ones. So Rudolph, Shiny New Year, Frosty.
Let me tell you why
Frosty was animated.
Yeah, let me tell you why I don't like Frosty. I'm going to tell you why that's my least favorite, okay? Mm-hmm. I didn't like Frosty the Snowman, partially because I wish it was that Rankin and Bass style thing, but also it looked like it was animated by a shaved monkey with a pin up his butt. I hate that movie. I don't like it.
No, I really like Frosty. Now, Frosty Returns... that's not really that good.
Yeah,
that's very 80s.
That's true. Although I liked it when Ripley woke up from that nightmare and finally decided to tell Paul Reiser that she would go. Though, just kidding.
There apparently was a remake, a live action remake in 2006, which I had no idea existed.
What?
Of A Year Without a Santa Claus? Yeah. So live action, Heat Miser and Snow Miser. And then there was a sequel called A Miser Brothers Christmas that came out in 2008 that was stop motion like the original and actually had Mickey Rooney doing Santa Claus again. George Irving did Heat Miser again, but Dick Shawn, who died in 87, was replaced by somebody else.
Here you go. I'm going to play a little thing. You ready?
Yes.
Turn around. Never.
Okay. It's the brother from My Name Is Earl who played Randy on that show. That's that's currently the guy.
This is the live action one?
Yeah, this is the live action one.
Look!
I'm trying to get the Heat Miser.
Get ready for some shock and awe.
Oh no, it's what's
your
his name?
Name stinks worse than your sulfur breath.
Okay, there. Oh, there's girls in bikinis. What is happening?
Wow.
Okay, there's the Heat Miser. Say something. I want to hear him say something. Or sing. Oh, this is terrible, guys. Come on.
I'm Mr. Heat Blister. I'm Mr. 101.
Okay, that's, what's his name?
Yeah, that's,
A Jewish guy.
Right, played Jeff Goldblum's dad in Independence Day.
Yes! What's his name? Here we go again. Come on, Nicole, give us some Don Cheadle. What do you got for us? Give us his name. What's his name?
I don't know. Who? What?
Crusty voiced Jewish guy. He was on a Simpsons episode where he helped Homer become a leader and got him to get some hair, minoxidil, and became like a big important thing at the plant.
Oh, I'm confusing with Judd Hirsch. That's another guy, though.
Oh, not Judd Hirsch. No.
Harvey Fierstein.
Harvey Fierstein.
Yes, who was also in Independence Day, but didn't play.
Do you think they hired Harvey Fierstein to play the Heat Miser because his last name had fire in it?
That'd be great if he did.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, sorry. Yeah. I had to get that out of my system. All right. Well, there's your recommendals. Here's mine. I'm going to play a clip and you guys see if
that really is him too. Yeah. I just confirmed it. That really was Harvey Fierstein.
Yeah. It sounds like him.
That's awesome.
Here's mine, I guess. Where is it? Okay. Here it is.
He lives in a nice house, nice stone fireplace, surrounded by trees, very wooded area in upstate New York, wide open fields, gorgeous nature.
He is away from society, show business, Walmart, top 40 radio, you know.
Is this a documentary?
He's like a wizard. Yeah, you know, he lives in the woods.
I think it's good for him up there too, chopping the wood.
All right. So yes, Stephen Wright. Yeah,
Stephen Wright.
Interviewed.
So we must be talking about another comic who's like super reclusive.
Mm-hmm. Any ideas? Any guesses?
Call Me Lucky.
You're correct. Call Me Lucky is this documentary.
I haven't even seen this movie.
Directed and directed by Bobcat Goldthwait, which is crazy.
Oh, wow.
He did an amazing job. I thought this movie was extremely good. It is all about this comic who I had never heard of before, but was a huge influence, apparently, on tons and tons of comics named Barry Crimmins. He built a comic or a comedy club as well, and it really catered to like these weird fringy guys in that era. So like Stephen Wright got his start there, and that was Tom Kenny at the end there, who does SpongeBob's voice now, but stand up, used to hang out with Bobcat Goldthwait. Anyway, it's about this Barry Crimmins guy, and you'd think, a documentary about this influential comic who became a recluse. That is not the story. The story is about how at some point in his career he got up on stage, pause during some of his content, which was always a little vitriolic, very political and all this other stuff, but then suddenly just blurts out this admission that when he was a little boy, he was raped by this house intruder guy in the 50s. And then the documentary takes a very different track and is very, very interesting. I found it riveting and recommend it highly for people to check out. It's called Call Me Lucky. And it's fantastic. And I can't remember where I watched it.
It's on Netflix.
Netflix, yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Really
good. Do you guys want a bonus one for me?
Give me a bonus.
Yeah, sure.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Here you go.
Okay.
Capture.
That's correct.
I'm Social Services. I remanded the boy into your personal custody. You're responsible for his safety. I'm told that he's just been struck by lightning.
It's the first I've heard of it.
It's true.
Scoutmaster Ward, I presume?
Yes, ma'am.
Your reputation precedes you. You two are the most appallingly incompetent custodial guardian Social Services has ever had the misfortune to encounter in a 27-year career. What do you have to say for yourselves?
You can't do this. They'll eat him alive in there.
Where?
Same place again.
Juvenile refuge.
Juvenile refuge. Sounds like jail.
Just find the boy and deliver him to Social Services. Nothing else is in your power. Here, Captain.
Hocus pocus.
No, not Hocus Pocus.
Unaccompanied minors.
And you can tell that was Bruce Willis, right? Yeah,
Bruce Willis.
Okay.
Yeah. Awesome. Oh, is that it's the one with the kid? Right. And Jason Alexander.
Is it the Two and a Half North? Men kid?
Bruce Willis was in there.
It's not North.
It's not North.
No, it's not North.
So that's Frodo, right? Frodo isn't North. It's
right, Frodo.
A quirky movie about Boy Scouts.
Moonrise Kingdom.
There you go.
Yeah, there you go.
Nice.
That's a good movie.
Great movie. It's streaming on Netflix.
Yeah, I need to watch it again. Freaking Wes Anderson can do no wrong in my mind. So.
Yeah, no kidding.
I finally got a chance to watch the hotel one.
The Grand Budapest Hotel.
Grand Budapest.
That was on HBO streaming, and I loved it.
Yeah,
I love his
movies. He's a national treasure, that guy. Mm-hmm. You know what you want to do just to make yourself happy? Go watch Fantastic Mr. Fox again. It's the only thing he ever animated, but Wes Anderson took that otherwise, you know, kind of okay story. It's cool, but turned it into something we, at least at the Johnson House, think is one of the coolest things ever made.
I feel like he captured Moonrise, like he tapped into his own childhood with Moonrise Kingdom.
Yeah, probably.
This is really about these coming of age kids and kind of going off for an adventure, and all the adults are kind of the side characters. Is really about these two kids.
What I love about his movies too is it's always this guaranteed place to see Bill Murray do something. You know?
Yeah.
It's like guaranteed he'll be in it. Doesn't matter what the thing is, Bill Murray's got a role somewhere. Well, these are all good recommendals, everyone.
My gosh, the chat room really wants me to say Don Cheadle. There you go,
Don
guys.
Don Cheadle. I've got a file of that. We can always play that. Nicole, your cough notwithstanding, I hope you're having a fine holiday season. And baby's cute as ever, and well done on all that stuff.
Thanks, guys.
And that new table your husband built, good Lord.
Yeah, so Mark built me a gaming dining room table. So it's in, we had Thanksgiving dinner on it.
Yeah.
And then we played some games.
You should see this, Brian, because it's like a table, but then it becomes a gaming table with like an indention.
Oh, believe me, I've been drooling over this thing since since Nicole emailed me about it.
I want it so bad.
Yeah.
Well, you know.
Like you said, I will move you here.
I
will hop in the moving truck and...
I told Mark that, and he goes, never mind.
Colorado. Excellent. We'll have a fun time. We'll do this again next week. I know we're getting close to Christmas, so it'll be fun to start doing some more Christmas recommendations.
So
watch for that.
Festive thing. I got a quick question for you.
Yeah.
What do you think about scary movies at Christmas?
I love them.
I don't like them.
I like them. I shouldn't say that. I don't.
Like Krampus?
Like the Krampus.
I keep on seeing that. It freaks me out.
It as a tradition, but I don't personally like them. Like, I like that I can always count on it. There's always going to be Silent Night, Deadly Night coming out in December. And I think there's something 80s about that that I don't want to go away, but I don't seek it out. Like, I don't really want to go.
So few of them out there that it's.
Yeah.
But I think there are people that really like it because it's so counterculture or counter to what's going on.
Yeah.
So
that's just kids.
I know.
Kids like their stupid ways.
Like I'm getting old.
These kids messing up their Christmas with horror.
My Christmas
with the Krampus.
movies. That's what Halloween for.
Yeah, my idea of a good crossover for scary and not scary, but Halloween and Christmas is just Nightmare Before Christmas, because that's, you know, that works for me. But anything that's like, I have no desire to see the Krampus right now, but I do want to see it for Film Sack one day. Mm-hmm. You know, but not for Christmas. We got Star Wars to worry about.
Right. There's other movies before Christmas that need to be seen.
F the Krampus. Nicole, have a fantastic day. I hope you feel better, and we'll talk to you
Thanks.
Soon. Bye now.
Yeah, see ya.
All right. There you go. That was Nicole time, we like to call it.
I love Nicole time.
It's a good time. I want her table. Something fierce. Something fierce, man. It's so cool. So rad. So awesome. All right, let's do one of these here, right here. This right here. Where is it? It's this.
With the computer, as with any tool, the concept and direction must come from the man.
You know, you'd think I'd find that clip quicker because I assigned it to the letter T on my keyboard for Tom, and I still struggle.
Yeah, that's a problem. Yeah. You're thinking man.
Right.
And then you're like, wait, T?
T for who?
Tom's not the man. Tom's the man fighting the man.
Yeah, what the hell am I doing? Tom Merritt is on the program, comes here every Wednesday. We talk about technology news, what's happening in the local rags, I guess.
Yeah, right.
In the gossips.
In the Mar Vista money penny.
Or, exactly. The traders and the whatnots. Yeah. And later today, I'll be on his very self-same program, the Daily Tech News Show, talking about technology. What is going on, Tom?
Well, we've got a couple of choices for you today. And they both involve children.
Oh.
At this time of year, it's the holidays,
sure.
Right?
Yeah. You know, it's a magical time.
One is Google breaking its promise not to spy on children? And the other is Mark Zuckerberg really trying to help people in giving away money in the name of his new thing?
So here's a good question for you. We talked about the story in the top of the show about the Zuckerberg thing. What we didn't talk about, well, I mentioned that there would be cynics, right? That somebody would be, you know, like, oh, sure, whatever. It's a tax shelter, you know, something like that. Mm-hmm. Is that the current thing? Is that it's a tax shelter and that people shouldn't see it as...
No, it's not a tax shelter. And in fact, it's probably got a big, healthy dollop of altruism in front of it. It is also a very cagey move. Mm. And I'm not saying it's even a bad move. He's created an LLC. Not a 501(c). And if you're like, those are a lot of letters, Tom, what does that mean?
Those are a lot of letters.
Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation is a 501(c). That means it's a nonprofit. Zuckerberg's foundation, albeit charitable, is for profit.
Oh,
so
weird.
He is giving less, $1 billion or less every year, so he doesn't lose control of Facebook, of his money and or stock to an LLC that he owns and presumably runs, which is a for-profit enterprise.
Weird. That I didn't know. So
there's some really good reasons for this. And if anybody wants to really find out like what's behind that, go check out the Fortune article that's out there by Matthew Ingram. He's one of the old GigaOm writers. He's really good. And it explains this gives that company more flexibility. They can invest in for-profit enterprises, which nonprofits can't do. And it also, because he's younger, is a better move than a 501(c). Bill Gates is near the end of his life, as is Warren Buffett, who is also part of the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. So it's easier for them to just put stuff in there and not expect a big return from it. Let it be a nonprofit.
Oh, I see. Because and you probably, he's got fleets of lawyers telling him how best to do this, I'm guessing.
Yeah, yeah.
And financial advisors.
And so all of that said, you can definitely, if you want to be super cynical, say like, this is just a PR play. I think it's more than just a PR play. The LLC is committed to actually, you know, providing charitable relief. And we'll see if they do. And I think it's a pretty good bet that they will. Mm-hmm. But this is also not entirely unselfish. And you could, depending on what side of the ideological spectrum you land on, it's either smart or selfish.
Yeah, I guess. And this sort of thing is kind of a built-in tax shelter, though, really. I mean, I don't mean that in a cynical way or a bad way.
In a way, no. Because it's not a nonprofit, he actually probably gets a little more of a tax hit because nonprofits have the tax shelters, and he's got an LLC. So he can't claim his charitable contributions to the LLC, I don't think, like he could if he gave it to an actual nonprofit.
It's interesting. I didn't think LLCs could be this big either. I thought LLC had a limit on like how large it could be.
I mean, it is a limited liability company.
I guess so. I don't know why I thought that.
Now we're outside my realm of
it. I think my tax guy told me that. He said something like, we need to convert Frog Pants to an S Corp. And I'm like, why? And he goes, well, you're in a weird tax place right now. And
oh, well, for tax reasons, you can file your LLC as an S Corp. Welcome to the morning business talk.
Get Molly Wood in here. We need an on the scene.
Right, we need somebody from Morgan. You could. That's taking your LLC and filing it as an S corp is different than actually making your LLC.
Oh, okay. See this? Yeah. Again, out of my range completely.
I only know that because that's what my tax accountant told me.
Oh, good. Yeah, we're all. See, one of the problems I've had is not problems, but here I go down this trail more. But my kids have been basically employees in the LLC, and now two of them are independent. And kind of moving out, not really. Carter's not moving out, but she's 18 and it changes the status. Yeah, so right. Now, you know, we got Lonely Nick in there and the tax guy's like, yeah, you may want to tweak that. So anyway.
The problem isn't you, Scott. It's your kids.
I know. It's my kids. It's my kids, Marty. I want to touch on this other thing, though, this spying on kids thing. I'm a little baffled by the idea that they were spying on kids in the first place. Is that just a language thing? Spying on kids sounds a lot more inflammatory than it's the same sort of data collection for everyone.
It's like Elf on the Shelf, right?
But I mean, isn't the same sort of tracking they're doing of me or Brian or you? That
actually, no.
Okay.
So let me try to walk through this as simply as possible. There's something called the Student Privacy Pledge, which Google, Microsoft, Apple, anybody who wants to provide technology to educational purposes has signed up for.
Right.
The Student Privacy Pledge is run by something called the Future of Privacy Forum. And there are also FTC rules about what you can and can't. Do Google for the most part, and by the way, my wife works at YouTube, Google employee. Mm-hmm. Google for the most part follows those rules. They provide different versions of their apps that don't do advertising, don't do tracking. And the EFF, which is filing this complaint against Google, says it's not that they're doing advertising. We're not accusing them of that. What is going on is the Chromebooks that Google provides to schools have Chrome Sync turned on. And because they have Chrome Sync turned on, all of the websites, all of the videos, all of the visiting to browser-based stuff that kids do on those laptops get stored on Google's servers. And the EFF says that's on by default. That's a problem. And it's being stored on their servers, which then they use to inform their other services, right? So things like search. That data is anonymized, but it goes into Google's vat of data to be analyzed.
Yeah.
And EFF says that violates the portion of the Student Privacy Pledge that says I will use data for authorized education purposes only.
Mm.
What's interesting is that the Future of Privacy Forum, which is the one that made the pledge, at least according to Fortune, said, you know what? We looked this over and we think that Chrome Sync is a setting within the control of the school IT administrator, can be changed by parents or students, allow students to log in from home at library and have access to their bookmarks. We don't believe the complaint raises any issue about data use that are restricted by the Student Privacy Pledge.
Mm. See,
so you've got the EFF saying,
yeah,
you shouldn't be doing that. And you've got the other, you know, I keep forgetting the name, Future of Privacy Forum saying, well, we created the pledge and we don't think it violates it.
Well, I would, I don't know if I have an opinion on this other than this is why things get so nuanced and weird with privacy, because what you're talking about is a function, a piece of functionality, which is actually quite useful in lots of scenarios. But in this one case raises this question, and then is it really on Google to, I don't know. I kind of side with the forum, to be honest. Because it doesn't feel like any kind of direct violation of the pledge. Not
well,
to me.
But it is taking your students' data and storing it on a server somewhere out of their control that Google's then using to run their business.
That's true. But couldn't the school, like you said, school administrators, IT guys, I don't know what level of those people were getting in schools these days.
Well, that's another point of contention. The EFF says that the school administrators can override settings, which they shouldn't be able to do because of the enterprise controls, which I think is probably true as well.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah,
I don't know. It does feel like the kind of thing that is a you should ask for permission, not put it in by default.
Yeah, I guess maybe it does boil down to that. And if that's the case, well, then yeah, they have a point. And you always say this, and I'm a big believer in it too. Default should always be give me the option to turn it on. Don't force me to have it on. So
And Google has told the EFF, or at least EFF says, that Google said that it will disable the setting that allows ChromeSync data to be shared with other Google services, like outside of the ones that are used in the educational setting.
Yeah.
So if they do that, that will go partway to alleviating the EFF's concerns about this data being used in other arenas.
Like the secret armed drone targeting system they're working on. We don't want that data in there.
Right.
That would be bad.
Yeah. Yeah. Or the moon base that I will probably retire to someday as
pretty excited
the husband
about that.
Of Eileen.
Yeah. Which color are you going to live in? Because that's how I understand it. The moon base will be connected pods. They'll be blue, yellow, green.
Probably green.
Green's all
I
right.
I would say purple. I would go purple, but I don't think they have purple.
Do you think they'll be in the shape of the Google letters when they do it?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, it might be the whole alphabet.
That'd be awesome.
Oh, alphabet. There you go.
Yeah, I like this. This is pretty good. A little green Android guys with disconnected limbs will bring you everything you need. Well, there you go.
Before you even know you need it.
We're going to, Tom and I, talk more today about these and other subjects on Daily Tech News Show at 2:30 p.m.
Yeah, Scott's going to go into the new Adobe stuff.
I am. I want to talk about that.
Your life.
Ooh. I'm very excited. And Brian and I we talked to each other over text, but we watched a bunch of their presentation on Twitch yesterday from that Swedish conference they're running out there. I learned some things about their mobile apps I was not aware of. Oh, I've had enough time with the new Pencil and iPad Pro to kind of speak to what their efforts are there.
Yeah.
I'm hot to talk about Adobe right now, so we'll be doing that a little bit later today.
That is not a phrase that I've heard in a long, long
hot
time.
Hot to talk about Adobe.
Well, it's not since cave drawing times were people really hot to talk about Adobe.
It's an ancient phrase from a more civilized age.
Tom Merritt, everybody, Ace Detect on Twitter. Anything people should be on the lookout? How'd you do with your NaNoWriMo? Did you pump a book out? How'd it go?
I did. Oh, I did. Fantastic. I got 50,700 words done.
Nice.
So I will once I finish polishing the one I've been working on, I've got one that's ready for an editor, one I'm polishing, and then I'll get to this one. Hmm. Maybe by the end of 2016.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Maybe I'll put an excerpt in the Crate Joy box for Current Geek. Who knows?
Hey, speaking of which, Current Geek, Friday, Brian Ibbett is our guest to maintain his crown as most...
Brian Ibbett?
Yeah, the most...
The one, the only.
The most visited guest on the show. We got to keep that up. And possibly another guest I'm working on right now. But anyway, no matter what, probably Brian. I always say these things because, Friday's coming. You never know. Things may change. But very excited about that. So look forward to that as well. Tom Merritt, I will see you later today. Have a fantastic afternoon. And we'll see you later.
Good afternoon.
Goodbye. I can't hang up. Goodbye. All right. There we go.
Good day, sir. He gets nothing.
By the way, people in the Twitch chat room, apparently we have a bit of a split audience. It's a very few people compared to the normal chat room. But those of you in the Twitch chat room, I'm keeping your chat up now too. What I'm trying to actually work on is a way to tie the two together because I think that would be really cool.
Oh, that'd be hilarious. Yeah.
Yeah. I'd love to have the two so you all can see each other and talk to each other and stuff. I don't know a good way to do that yet. If anyone at home has an answer to that that's simple and not crazy, let me know. Otherwise, I am bringing, I have that up and our IRC channel. So I'm seeing what you're saying. So quit being spammers. All right. just kidding. You're not spamming at all. Let's do a couple of phone calls. These come to us to our hotline, which I'll tell you about in a minute. And first I'll play the calls, though. Here is something about Netflixing and chilling. All right. Here you go.
Hey, Scott and Brian. I was listening to today's episode, and I just had a comment on the whole Netflix and chill thing. Scott, I am 24 years old, and I think it is the dumbest thing in the world. Thanks, love the show. Bye.
So he's on the side of let's not Netflix and chill.
Can't argue with that.
Well, our whole point was, what age group is this supposed to be? And it's supposed to be like college, early 20s. That's who's saying it, I guess. And
Netflix and chill.
I'm not convinced anyone's actually saying it. No. It's one of those things that spreads on the internet and you start to go, oh yeah, that must be a thing. But really, is it? Is it really a thing? Like, how many people are saying it? Some people say it in like ironic ways, like you and I, TMS and chill. That's a funny idea. We may make a shirt out of that for all I know. But
oh yeah, for sure.
Doesn't mean you're all home having sex with Netflix on. All right. How about this one? Living with Bill Murray.
My name's Ryan. And this morning, we're talking about Bill Murray and what he's up to. Well, I actually just recently moved out to an island outside of Charleston, South Carolina called Isle of Palms. And I actually lived
in the same neighborhood that Darius Rucker and Bill Murray live in. And Bill Murray also owns the baseball team out there, out here. And he really just kind of sits on his porch and drinks out on the ocean, and that's about it. And, you know, he just chills. And he actually comes and talks a lot and speaks at public events. So that's what Bill Murray's up to. Yeah. Well,
that's awesome.
That is cool. I didn't know Bill Murray and Darius Rucker lived in the same
neighborhood. Isn't that amazing?
Neighborhood. That's hilarious.
I think that's super cool. Here's my only complaint. Bill Murray used to own a Salt Lake baseball team.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he used to own what they referred to at the time as the Trappers, and now they're the Bees or some other shitty name. But but the Trappers was a Bill Murray team, so whenever you'd go to a Trappers game, there was always like these big mural photos of the team, and right in the middle would be him in a jersey and stuff, holding the baseball bat, was Bill Murray. And we just had this point of pride that Bill Murray owns our local farm league, you know, team. And we loved that. And then he sold it, and now he owns something in South Carolina, so F off! South Carolina for taking our Bill Murray team. Sheesh.
Anyway, no kidding.
That's how that went. That's going to do it. We're done. If you want to submit your own calls to the show, it's easy to do. All you got to do is call this number, 801-471-0462. Leave us a voicemail. Play it on the show. You can email us at themorningstream@gmail.com. Your compliments and complaints, both welcome. Frogpants.com/TMS is the website. On Twitter, find Brian at Coverville, me at Scott Johnson, the show at Morning Stream, and chat with us on Reddit, frogpants.reddit.com. People are demanding a AMA with you and I.
We should
just get that arranged. So, I don't know, maybe Mayu wants to run it, or somebody can run that, and we'll do it. The Mayukeses.
The Mayukeses, because they don't have enough going on.
Yeah, there's the kids and things.
New baby and all that stuff.
Let's leave. Let's be done. You got a song there for me to hear?
There will be, by the way, there will be a Coverville today.
Oh, it's Wednesday. Yes.
It is Wednesday. Celebrating what would be Frank Sinatra's 100th birthday this month. Mm-hmm. So, of course, it'll be a big Frank Sinatra extravaganza. It's hard to, there are songs you always associate with Frank Sinatra, but he was a coverer as much as he was, even more than he was, an original artist. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the stuff that you think of as Frank Sinatra was really originally done by other people. But I don't care. I'm going to play songs that you associate with Frank Sinatra. Whether or not he did them first, I don't care.
Yeah, who cares?
Who cares? I'm not going to care. Nobody cares. and actually, that's a great lead-in to today's request.
Hold on, I'm going to play this right here.
They're not going to care.
There you go.
They don't care. What? They're going
to
care?
I had to play it, sorry.
Nice. But like I said, that fits in perfectly because Jane from Mira Loma, California, wrote in and said, hello, Scott and Brian. My fiance Evan and I are longtime listeners. We have shared many moments and played many games with your hilarious banter and wonderful songs as our backdrop. December 3rd, tomorrow, is Evan's 33rd birthday, and it would be amazing if you could play a cover of Fly Me to the Moon, because he is the butt of my life, and he makes my heart soar. Oh. That's really what it says, the butt of my life.
Wow, really? Does it really say that?
That's really what it says.
Okay. Sheesh.
Maybe pilot, and it just, I don't know. I don't know. But of my life. Okay. And it makes my heart sore. Thanks for brightening our day. Do even Dice Masters, bro. Signed, Jane.
Brian does.
Yeah, I do. Yeah. I do Dice Masters.
I don't, but he does.
All right, and they wanted a cover of Fly Me to the Moon. Let's play a cover of Fly Me to the Moon. This is by Lynn Collins. This is some funky, funky business. And kind of like what I was saying, you associate with Frank Sinatra, but it was originally done by Felicia Sanders. But, you know, come on, try and say, oh, yeah, it's like that Felicia Sanders song, Fly Me to the Moon, and see if somebody doesn't correct you. That was Frank Sinatra.
Oh, yeah, that old chestnut by Felicia Sanders.
Exactly, exactly. So Lynn Collins and her funky, funky cover of Fly Me to the Moon.
Rock on. We'll see you guys tomorrow for Therapy Thursday and all the therapy, or the therapy, the Thursday goodness. So come on back now. You hear?
Baby, hold my hand. Yeah, 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 baby, in arms.
show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Directions are on the heavy-duty package.